Jesus said it. He said, do this as often in remembrance of me. You rise when you understand the way of God. Oh, hallelujah. When you know, you know. Listen, what you have seen, you cannot see. You should not fear. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there's a system of atonement. That's what it's saying. You can engage the power of the blood for dominion and make up for that deficiency of the soul. That takes God by surprise. Absolutely nothing. I need to pay attention this morning. I want to share something very vital, something very important with you in this communion service. Then next week, Sunday, we start our series on uncommon greatness. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, nothing happens on earth that takes God by surprise. Absolutely nothing. There's nothing happening in your life that God is surprised about. Say, so, wow, Jane, you mean this is happening to Jane? Angel Gabriel, what do we do? Angel Michael, what do we do? Amen. No, there's nothing like that. Absolutely nothing like that. There's nothing happening on earth, nothing happening in your life that is beyond the scope of His omnipotence. Nothing happening on earth, nothing happening in your life that is beyond the scope of His provisions. That should produce faith in your heart. That should produce confidence in your heart. And that's very important. You know, sometimes we forget that. How do I know? The way we respond sometimes is as though we are forgotten that God knew before it started happening. It's as though we've forgotten that nothing takes God by surprise. Nothing goes beyond the scope of His omnipotence. Nothing goes beyond the scope of His provision. Absolutely nothing on the earth. Absolutely nothing in human life. Nothing in your life currently, no matter how it looks, is within the range of His power. Is within the range of His provision. Is within the range of His competence, to put it that way. Are you listening to me? So whatever you are faced, whatever they are saying around, let your eyes be fixed. Let your face be fixed as a flint. Knowing that God is not ignorant. God is not unaware. God is not unprepared. Very important. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, five or six years ago, we Ebola was talked about. How many of you remember that? Hallelujah. I think I believe that we're in Randiama Hotel. That should be like 5-6 years ago, 2014, 2015, I believe. And God helped us as a nation. He was banished from the land. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was even to the people who were planning not to go to church because they declared the case in coronavirus in Lagos. I said, that's amazing. Hallelujah. If Satan wants to kill you, he'll kill you in your house. In case you have forgotten. Are you listening? We will teach and project and encourage the precautionary measures that health provide. And for that, you pay attention to that. But you see, to act in fear is a revelation of the lack of knowledge of God. I remember in Ebola time, I told the church, then I say, if you bring the blood and I drink it, nothing can happen. You put the Ebola inside blood and I drink it. Amen. I was voicing my confidence. And it wasn't a joke. I said it publicly. Are you listening? We have to know that God is not unprepared. And every time you act in fear, you open the door to Satan. In your marriage, in your finances, in your job, in your career, never act in fear. Respond to God in faith. Because faith opens the door for the power of God. Faith opens the door for God to come in. A man of God once said that God's greatest obsession is to be believed. That means obsessed about being believed. And that's consistent with His nature. That's consistent with His character. God wants to be believed. God wants to be trusted. God wants people that can take a stand. You can imagine what was happening in heaven when David faced Goliath of Gath, you remember him, and spoke in faith and spoke in confidence and spoke boldly because of his consciousness of his covenant with Jehovah. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine coming to defy the armies of the living God? I'm going to take off your head. The Bible says there was no sword in David's hand. Oh. That means when you are speaking faith, it has nothing to do with what you have in your hand, in your bank account, in your house. It has nothing to do with it. Your eyes are on something. There was no sword in David's hand, but he spoke boldly to Goliath. I'm going to take off your head. With what? The words he spoke will give him the sword. Question, did he take off his head or not? He did. He did. When he spoke it, there was no sword in his hand. But there's something about faith. There's something about confidence in God's willingness, in God's ability and willingness to perform on your behalf. There's something about it. Nothing takes him unawares. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. He was prepared before it happened. So when you're making your plans, when you are responding to life or going through life, you must operate with that consciousness that, look, God is already aware. When you are responding to the environment, whether news that is fine or something that is happening, you must respond knowing that, look, God is not taking unawares. Nothing is outside the range of his power. Nothing is outside the range of his provision. Nothing is outside the range of his omnipotence. Oh, glory to God forevermore. And really, that's what faith is. Hallelujah. Praise God. This morning I want to share with you one of the ancient mysteries for dominion. I've titled it Dominion by the Blood. Dominion by the Blood. Dominion by the Blood. As we break bread today, break bread on Tuesday, I'll start today, maybe finish it on Tuesday, and break bread every day of the year. Hope you have communion elements in your house. Is an instruction. Make sure you do it every day with your family, your wife, your siblings, your roommates, whoever is in your house, with your children, break bread and make incantations. Hallelujah. Break bread and make incantations. It's not nothing. It's not nothing. The power of God is released. Listen, God has definite systems for the release of his power on the earth. Definite systems. Meaning he has pre-programmed systems that release his power on the earth. Never forget that. And what he does is he begins to reveal by revelation, open the eyes of men to see. And when they see by revelation and engage it, they release his power. Whether it's power for provision, power for protection, power of prosperity, miracle working power, power of lifting. They are heavily accredited systems. You know, God asked Job a question. He said, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you use them to regulate the earth? What is he saying? God has prepackaged, pre-programmed systems of power that we can use for advantage on the earth. That's what he's saying. Systems of his power that we can use for our benefit on the earth. And once he reveals them to us, what did he say? He said the things that the sacred things belong to God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. Meaning once they are revealed, they are for our benefits. Once they are revealed through the pages of scriptures, through encounters with God, they are for our benefits. We can use them for advantage. He said that belong to us. And this blood is one of those systems of power. The communion table is one of those systems of power. I want to just shine some light on it this morning and we pray. In Genesis chapter 14, God by revelation showed Abraham the system of tithing.
Yes, sir.
To give him dominion on the earth. It was a revelation. How did Abraham know that he was to give the tenth part to Melchizedek? He got it by revelation. You know, I was discussing with a guy who said he doesn't believe in tithing years ago. And he told me that Abraham would have given a second part, would have given a 20th part, would have given a 30th part. I said, why are you lying? I mean, go and read your Bible properly.
Yes, sir.
There's nothing like that. Absolutely nothing like that. He responded by revelation. He did. It wasn't a guesswork. Because his grandson knew what did God say about Abraham? He said, I trust Abraham. He will teach his children to go in the way of righteousness. That means he communicated the things he had known by revelation to his son Isaac. Isaac communicated it to Jacob. Jacob communicated them to his sons. There were things they knew. For example, the technology of altar was revealed to Abraham. He knew how to create altar and trade upon those altars and call the attention of heaven. He communicated that to his sons. There was something about altars that they knew. When Jacob was on his way going on exile because of the fear of his brother, what happened? When he got to a place, he built an altar. He raised an altar and the heavens opened. So by revelation, our eyes are open to see the system. And then when we engage them, we have multiplied results, multiplicity of testimonies. He did. He gave him a tenth part. You say, how do we know Abraham had revelation? He was a prophet. He wasn't a self-acclaimed prophet. He was a God-proclaimed prophet. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 7 or so, God was talking to Abimelech, the king of Gerar. He said, go and meet Abraham, for he's a prophet, and he will pray for you. So God called Abraham prophet. Who are prophets? Prophets are not people who call people's phone numbers. Prophets are people, men chosen by God to host revelations from heaven and bring God's people insight into the past, the present, and the future. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And according to the law of first mention, the primary job of the prophet is what? Intercession. Is there. And that's Genesis 20. He said God was the first to mention the name prophet in the Bible. And what did he attach to it? He is a prophet, for he will pray for you, not he will pray for himself. Hallelujah. Are you listening this morning? So the way of blood must be understood and must be engaged. Listen, nobody rises on earth without understanding the protocol of blood. Nobody. Even the guys in the occult understand that. The guys in the world understand that. Nobody. Nobody. Precious knowledge and understanding. So, where do we start from talking about blood? The first time it was mentioned, let's start from there. So, I'm going to show you five revelations, five things the Bible has revealed about blood. And the application of these five things in our lives today. The first time God talks about blood, or the Bible talks about blood, was in Genesis chapter 4. You can go there, Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Verse 10. Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. So the first thing revealed about blood in scriptures is that blood has a voice and can speak. You guys are dull this morning. Blood has a voice and it can speak. Blood has a voice and it can speak. Listen to me, in case you are thinking, I'm going to show you scriptures from both the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's nothing like the blood sacrifices ended in the Old Testament. Blood no longer has application in the New Testament. You don't know what you're talking about. When Jesus was about to leave, he told his disciples, when he broke that bread and gave them to it, what we call the communion, which is the right application of blood in the New Testament. He's not pouring the blood of Jesus. I've taught you before. He's not pouring the blood of Jesus. He's not covering and sprinkling the blood of Jesus. Listen, when you say things, get back to the Bible and study them for yourselves so that you can understand right application. I soak you with the blood of Jesus. And everybody shout, blood of Jesus. You are traveling. He said, I cover the driver with the blood of Jesus. I soak the car in the blood of Jesus. You don't want him to see. But you see, when you go to the Bible and begin to study, you will learn the right application. And sometimes people just say those things in fear. They say those things out of human traditions. There is the right application of blood, but it's not soaking the driver, soaking your children, soaking your husband, soaking your wife in the blood of Jesus, or sprinkling them with the blood of Jesus. You are not the high priest. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. We must operate with understanding. Remember, in this kingdom, for what you do to produce result, it must be undergirded by understanding. Understanding means understanding something that is under upon which you are standing. That means you are doing that thing standing on something. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Did you get that? So you are not just doing it. There's something you are standing on. There is a knowledge. There's a certainty. There's a persuasion upon which you are standing to do what you are doing. This is why we have teachers. This is why we teach the world. This is why God gives revelation. So the first time blood was mentioned, or the first thing revealed about blood, is that blood has a voice and can speak. Genesis chapter 4. Have you put it up? Genesis chapter 4 verse 10. Genesis chapter 4 verse 10. Genesis chapter 4 verse 10. It was a conversation between God and Cain. You remember? After he killed Abel. And he said... And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth out unto me from the ground. So blood has a voice and can cry. I'm going somewhere. Blood has a voice and can speak. So when you take communion, you are partaking of something that has a voice. Are you listening? When you are breaking bread and drinking the blood, you are partaking of something that can speak. When you think about the blood of Jesus, it's not some inactive thing. You are talking about something that can speak. Something that has a voice and that can speak. Mokabala to sebrendo keporabakato sabalabaya. Liga borabu seshtepa. You know, the Bible confirmed this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. To show us that this speaking blood did not stop in the Old Testament. He made a comparison in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. Put it up for me. In Hebrews 12:24, talking about Jesus, he began. Don't forget that the context was the comparison of two covenants. The comparison, we call it the tale of two mountains, Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. He was comparing two covenants. That's the context. Follow me. And then he began to talk about Mount Zion. He said, for you are come unto Mount Zion. That means we are not marching to Zion. We have arrived in Zion. We don't think we are marching to Zion. No. We were born in Zion. The Bible says when the Lord shall write the people, when the Lord shall register the people, he shall say, this one was born in Zion. This one was born there. The day you got born again. That's why it's called born again. It's a new birth. You were born in Zion. You were born in Christ. You were born in that city of God. So we are not ascending to the city. We grow in the consciousness of that city. So when you are praying in the Holy Ghost and you are praying and praying, you are growing in the consciousness of that city. Because it's a realm that you are in. But until you are awakened to that realm, you cannot release the power there. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
We grow in the consciousness of that city. But we are born there.
That's right.
So your prayer is not ascending to heaven. So you say, hey, my prayer did not pass the ceiling. What are you talking about? You think heaven is geographical above? Heaven is not geographical above. Heaven is a dimension. That means the physical world is an eco department of the spirit realm. That means right in this hall, there can be heaven present. Are you listening? And then when you know how to access it, in a twinkling of an eye, you are there. While you are here. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Even science is beginning to explain those things. Quantum physics. How many of you have watched Interstellar. They are beginning to talk about these things. That time is a quantity that can be moved. Glory to God. So he was talking about Sinai and Zion. That we have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And then he said, we have come unto the innumerable company of angels. We've come unto the blood of sprinkling. That's where I'm going. Give me verse 24 very quickly. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. That means in this Mount Zion, Jesus is present. And he says, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh Makebalaya. That speaketh. Speaketh is the old English for speaks. Present continuous. We have come unto the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. When we say better things, there has to be a comparison. You say the blood is speaking better things. And don't forget the context. Don't forget that the old covenant to have blessings, yes, that were powered by the blood of bulls and goats. Yes, sir. That's one of the comparisons he's making there. He said this blood is speaking better things. Yes, that means the outcome of engaging this blood of sprinkling is better than the outcome of the blood that the Old Testament had to power their covenants. And guess what? Solomon became rich by that old system. Elijah subdued the territory by that old system. No, there was a man, Elisha. The Bible says an army of a nation came to arrest him, and he was not moved. He was relaxed, probably sleeping. His servant came, "Alas, master, we are surrounded." He said, "What are you talking about? We are surrounded." He did not see a vision. He was speaking from a consciousness. He said, "They that be with us are more." But he did not see a vision. He was speaking from a knowing. No, it wasn't that, he just saw a vision. No, he was speaking from a knowing. When you know, you know. Listen, what you have seen, you cannot unsee. Don't forget that when his master was taken, the Bible said he appeared horses and chariots of fire. He was there. He saw them. What did Elijah tell him? He said, "If you can see me when I'm taken, you are the next national prophet." And he saw. What did he say? The Bible said there appeared horses and chariots of fire. But how did Elijah go up? Wild wind. The horses and chariots remained. You didn't get that. Go and read it. There appeared horses and chariots of fire in 2 Kings chapter 2. But the Bible says Elijah went up by wild wind. Not with the horses and chariots. So he has seen it. You see, when a new governor is coming in, the old governor is going, everything is handed over. Why? It comes with the office. Are you listening to me? You should not fear. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Oh, hallelujah. There's a consciousness you should have. Don't forget, we're talking about the blood that speaks better things. These men operated by the covenant of Sinai. A consciousness. He said, "Lord, open the eyes of this young man. Let him see." And God opened the eyes of the young man. The Bible says, "Behold, the mountains were filled with horses and chariots of fire." I said, "Well, Lord, how do we get out of here?" "Just blind them at his will." You know, when you read those prophets, they did things at will. They did things at will. Then in the New Testament, Christians are saying, "Lord, it be thy will." What do I do? God. Our journey is far, but we are getting there. No, what did Elisha tell the king of Israel when Naaman came? He said, "Send him to me." He said, "Why is he crying?" Now, the king of Syria sent his general to the king of Israel. He said, "Heal him." When he heard it, he began to shout and cry. He said, "Look at this man. He's looking for trouble. Am I God that I will heal him?" When Elisha heard, he said, "What's wrong with you? Send it to me."
He said so that he will know there is a prophet in Israel. He was falling back on his calling.
Oh, oh.
You know, those of you that were around for the leaders meeting, I told you about configuration. If you put Igalo on the field, what do you expect? Football and to score goal, is that true? That's his configuration. If you put a prophet on the scene, you expect the supernatural. You sit to hear a preacher, you should expect a transformation. Why is my configuration? I'm wired to transform lives. So I can wake up from sleep and say, what are you talking about? Be healed. And you are healed. He said, send him to me that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. He didn't say, tell him to me and God will heal him. No. Are you listening to me? He told the Lord, he said, blind them. And then he took them to the midst of the city and left them there. They were so disgraced. What am I saying? That is old covenant. Blood of bulls and goats. Blood of bulls and goats. But we have a speaking blood that speaketh better things. Better things than the voice of the blood of the old covenant. Look at Daniel, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, the four Hebrew boys. Kai, you know what I believe? We don't need many people to hold a nation. We don't need many people. Babylon was not a country. Babylon was an empire. You think there's jazz now? That was a real jazz town. They had official magicians. Are you aware? Magicians, sorcerers, wizards were on duty. They were on salary of the king. Do you understand? So if you are thinking of jazz, that was a jazz town. But there were four people. Someone say, Christians, they're national. When we pray national prayer, what did we do to God? You don't know what you are saying. What did we do to God? We need four men to rise.
Yes, sir.
Four Hebrew boys who understood their covenant. Listen, you know, it was not this speaking blood yet. Oh. It was see the blood of goats and cows and the ashes of heifer. In fact, they did not have space to sacrifice, so they refer to former sacrifice.
Oh, I love that.
What were they doing when they were opening the window towards Jerusalem? They were referring to former sacrifice. Say, Lord, you understand. We can't even make sacrifice. They were in exile. But we refer to former sacrifice of goats and bulls. But their faith drew on the omnipotence of God. You have fresh blood. Is somebody here this morning? What is it that has not been working? Drink blood on it. And make incantations. Join your voice with the voice of the blood. Now back to Hebrews 12:24. It says, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. The other comparison is the obvious one, the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel was the blood that spoke vengeance. But the blood of Jesus speaks forgiveness and righteousness. Hi, hallelujah. He's speaking prosperity, speaking protection, speaking well-being. We have a speaking blood. And every time we partake of the communion, we amplify the voice of the blood. You do hear that? Every time you take the communion with understanding, the Bible talks about rightly discerning the body. Every time you partake of the table with understanding, you amplify the voice of the blood. You amplify the voice of the blood. Well, people have been healed from all kinds of sicknesses, from the cancers have been healed, all kinds, barrenness, all kinds. Discerning the Lord's body. Knowing the power in it. No assumptions. The blood speaks. The blood has a voice. And we know how to amplify the voice of that blood. Hallelujah. It speaks better things. Better things. For us, I tell you, nobody rises without understanding the protocol of the blood. The people who don't have this one, they look for another one. Why do you think your politicians do rituals? They understand that nobody rises without understanding the protocol of the blood. You rise when you understand the way of blood. Oh, hallelujah. The way of blood. The way of blood. Why? And I'm still on number one. Why is that blood talk in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24? It's no accident. You might say, okay, the English translation was done randomly, but you can drive, you can see pictures from there. It's not accident. 12 and 24. Talking about blood is no accident. 12 is the number of authority, dominion, and government. 24 is a number of priesthood. You remember in 2 Chronicles chapter 23 to chapter 24, when David was ordering the course, he set the priest and the Levite in 24 courses. In 24 courses. You remember? The father of John was from the course of Abia, amen, which was the seventh course or so. 24, set the priest in 24 circles to minister to the Lord. In heaven, there are 24 elders before the throne of God, sitting on thrones and with crowns. That talks about priesthood. What does this mean? That this blood is the foundation of our priesthood and our dominion on the earth. Priesthood has to do with worship and intercession. That means the foundation of productive worship is the understanding of the way of blood. Why is your worship accepted? Why can you come to God and worship Him? Blood has made a way. Are you listening? You know, Satan doesn't want believers to know this. Blood has made a way. Listen, we never come to God on the basis of our righteousness. Never forget that. Never. Amen. Your right living and righteousness has blessings on the earth and reward in heaven. But your approaching God is not on that terms. Approaching God is on the terms of blood. It's the way of blood. The foundation of our priesthood. And then he talks about 12. That's dominion. Authority. Government. He gives us the victory. He gives us the dominion. Just to say this, how do you think Solomon broke into that wealth and influence? Solomon was not just wealthy, he was influential. He had a common influence. He tamed every enemy on every side. How do you think he was able to do it? How did he break? Now, what Solomon had was not financial freedom. We call that financial dominion. Dominus. When you go home, go and study the wealth of Solomon. That's not financial freedom. I want to be financially free so I can take care of my wife and children and send them to Ivy League school. That's financial freedom. That's low level. What Solomon had was financial dominion. He wasn't looking for gold. They came to him. Gold knew the address of Solomon's house. The Bible said the gold that came. He said the amount of gold that came. He didn't go after them. He was settled in Jerusalem. And then gold came. Is that a normal person? You think that's normal? A transaction happened in the spirit. He understood the power of blood and altars. The Bible says at Gibeon, Solomon sacrificed 1,000 burnt offering. You know, sometimes you can just say offering. It's not your offering envelope. It's not money. That means he was slitting the throats of 1,000 animals. You cut this one, the blood will flow. You make incantations. You cut the other one, the blood will flow. You make incantations. You cut the other one, the blood will flow. You make 1,000, not 100. Listen, one of the things we are going to learn, lesson 5, is spirit. Blood attracts spirits. That's what happened. The moment he did that to God, on God's altar, what happened? The Bible said that same night God appeared. God is a spirit. John 4. That same night, not the next day, God appeared. He said, Solo, don't you know that blood summons? Oh, Makibai. The protocol of blood. That night, the Bible says the Lord appeared unto Solomon in Gibeon. And he said, Solomon, what do you want me to do for you? Has God ever asked you that kind of question before? Oh, may he ask you that kind of question. That was what happened. When you get the attention of spirits, if you had done 10, God would not have appeared. If you had done 100, God would not have appeared. Listen, immortals are not impressed by things that are not sacrificial. Spirits, they are not. You pray 30 minutes every day of your life, you can't get attention of spirits. You fast till 12 or 2 o'clock, you see your stomach, you are hungry, you are eating, you can't get attention of spirits. Settle it, I'm the one telling you. Spirits are impressed by things that takes mortals out of the comfort of their bodies. Out of the comfort of convenience. I've given you a lesson to walk in power. Spirits are not impressed by. I told you, he did 10, they will not appear. No, go and do 3 days right fasting and see if your eyes will not be open. Just do. You are hungry, just stay there. He said, Pastor, I'm fasting, I'm hungry. That's why it's a fast. You are supposed to be hungry. That makes it a sacrifice. You are supposed to be hungry. What did Esther say? Oh, he said, go and tell them, no food for 3 days, 3 nights. I will fast also. And I will go, if I perish, I perish. Most times when you get to that point, you don't perish. You get what you want. Three days, three nights, when she was done, as she was entering, what the king saw was different. Life is spiritual. Life is spiritual. Life is spiritual. Life is spiritual. Learn how to transact in deep waters. Learn how to do business in the spirit realm. Learn it. Learn it. Don't be carnal. Don't be natural. Get everything you can in the natural, but know that your advantage is spiritual. Your understanding of the spiritual laws, spiritual systems of God is what will help you. Someone say, is it blood? Is it not what we drink and what we eat? See, you are carnal. When Jesus broke it and gave them, he didn't say, this is wine, drink. He said, this is my blood, drink. He broke the bread and gave them. He didn't say, this is bread, eat. He said, this is my flesh, eat it. That means when we pray and break it and give it to you, makebalakaso, is blood you are drinking and flesh that you are eating. You know that if it's the body of Jesus and is the blood of Jesus, that listen, it is not the modern church that orchestrated this. Jesus said it. He said, do this as often in remembrance of me. That means don't do it once a while. Do it as often. Do it all the time. Do it with understanding. Do it with expectation. The early church expected it to work. The early church expected the name of Jesus to work. You know, when I read the book of Acts, I'm inspired. They expected the name to work. At the gate called Beautiful, Peter says, "See, I'm God, have I not? As such as I have given, in the name of Jesus Christ, and rise up and walk." The man did not stand up. But Peter said, "This name works all the time." He took him by the right hand. He didn't pray again. Oh, hallelujah. Expect it to work. Trust, put your faith in God's system. We have a speaking blood. We have a speaking blood. We have a speaking blood. And this blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. It speaks grace. It speaks glory. It speaks abundance. It speaks health. It speaks strength. It speaks restoration. engage it. I told you once, there's revelation. The next thing is engagement. And after the engagement, you have the result. You will see it. Christians, we have things that God has set for advantage. Let's take advantage of them. An expectation. Expect things to happen as you partake of this. Expect. Know that there is a voice speaking, and he's speaking better things. Can I have the communion ministers? And he's speaking better things. We'll break bread first service, break bread second service. Speaking better things. Now you cannot go and cut and kill goats and ram and cow. You'll be in error. But we've been given a system, the communion table. So you feel like doing blood things. You know what to do. Break bread. Drink the cup. Break bread. Partake of his body and of his blood. Partake. If you feel like keep drinking 10 times a day and you don't understand it, you drink and pray in tongues and drink and pray in tongues and drink. And pray in tongues and drink. The gate will be opened. That growth will drop from your body. That child's head will be correct. You are drinking blood on his head. His head will be correct. I'm making incantations, speaking in tongues. I'm making bold declarations of faith. The blood of sprinkling. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Morabaka pasushoto kukraka pasushoto. Thank you.
after he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he also took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. The only qualification for taking this is to be born again. Having given your life to Christ. You are here this morning, you've not given your heart to the Lord Jesus. I want to pray for you. You're saying, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I have a relationship with God. All eyes closed by your head. Right where you are, I want you to raise your hand high. There's nothing, life is too confusing for you. That's those. You want me to pray for you to give your heart to the Lord, to rededicate your life to Christ? Just raise your hand high. Just raise it high. Life is too serious for you to joke with. And there's nothing to be ashamed of. Jesus died for you publicly. So right where you are, just raise your hand and I'll pray for you. You want to say, Pastor, pray for me? Don't share the eggs. I am praying for you. Just raise your hand where you are and I'll pray for you. In the heart, and I'll pray for you. That is a requirement. And it's not hard to be saved. You believe in your heart, the sacrifice of Jesus, and you declare with your mouth his lordship. The Bible says you are saved. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Can we have it to be?
Unto him who sits on the throne, blessings and honor. And honor, Jesus the Lamb, who was slain, glory and power,
glory
and power.
We
sing unto him who sits on
Can you sing that song?
I see the restless.
Oh God, we
see the restless. You can go ahead and pray.
That was shed on the cross of Calvary. Yes, we see the blood. We feel the roasting lamb. We put our faith in you, oh God. There I am. Yes, we see the lamb. Oh, we see the lamb slain. We see the lamb slain. We see.
Go ahead in 1 minute and pray the Lord. What are you directing your expectations? What are your expectations? What are you directing your faith on? Just speak them boldly. Speak them in faith right now. Shelege prendo kopo soshotoko breka pososhotoko. Shibadala toko breka pososhotoko prendo kemsa. Shebetale toko breka pososhotoko. Ele do cobre caposa. Em chela da cobre caposa. Aleluia. 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 Please, ministers, make sure you go and serve the children communion. Hope they go to serve them. They should go serve them communion. I want us 1 minute to pray for our land. Amen. We're going to declare we banish coronavirus from this land. Amen. You know, Nigeria is our primary responsibility. Then we can pray for people elsewhere. Are you listening? We're going to pray. Pray from your heart. We have authority. Is that right? We have authority. I'm going to lift your right hand up and say, in the name of Jesus, we agree today that coronavirus cannot flourish in Nigeria. We banish it from the borders of this nation. Go ahead and pray. Shaka pronda kibala kons. Shebrenda kapotos, shepotokapa, hey malatos. We come against the activities of destruction. We come against the activities of destruction. The activities of destruction of that angel of destruction. Shepetonop in this land. We punish the pestilence. We punish the pestilence. We punish the pestilence. Rekeke patos. Shebedeletos. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, we plead the blood over our land. And we declare that this pestilence will not flourish in this territory. In the name of Jesus Christ.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.